Now, if we shoot ahead to the one we just did, I don't have much back on that yet because it takes a while, and of course it takes money.
And of course, this would be the 12th surgery.
Yeah, 12th surgery. Okay. Lady with a full history of involving the abduction phenomena, her and her family. I have two audio cassette tapes that she gave me that was dictated by her father, telling about his experiences, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. None of these people undergo regressive hypnosis. We don't allow it. Just for the fact we don't need any more criticism than we get for, you know, some little country podiatrist doing, you know, weird surgeries with a surgical team. Now, I want to make it clear, I only operate on the foot. So
that's right.
I don't want to be accused of doing something I'm not supposed to do. We do have a surgical team. We have general surgeons, and if something's somewhere else, they do it. But this case was in the foot, and the first X-rays I saw were 2 years ago, and it was in the third toe, and it was looked the same as four of the other objects that I removed. In fact, it was exactly the same length. It was a little rod, a little metallic rod, about 6 millimeters in length and about the thickness of a pencil lead.
And you had three previous that were exactly the same?
No, four. This would be the fifth. So before we do the surgery, we want to make sure the thing is there and it's where it was, you know, when I first see it. So I take an X-ray right before I do the surgery. And unfortunately, this thing had worked its way up into a joint and had fractured into three pieces. So I said, oh, boy, you know, when it's in three pieces, it's going to be harder to get out when it's just one. But we had, as I said, we got enough funds to be able to get the equipment so that makes these things feasible to do. But I got it out, and it was all in one sack. It was in one subcutaneous, you know, strange sack, which it's still in. Now, before we took the thing out, every once in a while I get a new piece of equipment. So we use a Gauss meter, and you'll like this stuff. You'll know more about it, Art, than I do. It puts out an electromagnetic field of 4 milligauss.
Really?
Then we use a radio frequency detector, and I wish you'd have been there because, you know, it has a small antenna. You could point this antenna in an isolated area because without any other interference from radio sources. You point this antenna to the second toe, and you get no reading at all. I mean, the numbers just spin on by. Mm-hmm. You point it to the fourth toe, and it spins on by. You point it to the third toe, and it locks on 30.0127.
Wait a minute. Please start again.
30.0127 32 megahertz.
Wow. So just barely above 30 megahertz. My.
You know, I don't. You, as I said, you know more about it than I do. What that means, I haven't a clue. But
did anybody take a radio receiver tuned to that frequency and try and see what it was?
No.
Oh, darn. That would have been the next obvious thing to do. If you're getting enough radiation from that thing on that frequency to register, then, oh, my God, you would certainly want to. Damn, doctor, you're right. I should have been there. I've got many receivers that would cover that frequency. And to know what it was transmitting, what kind of signal it was transmitting, what kind of modulation, if any, there was on the carrier, if there was a carrier, or what. Whether it was FM or AM or something, we don't know. Oh, my God, I would love to have been there.
Well, I wrote down the numbers because I said, oh, my God, you know, and I'm not going to remember this. The number is too long. So I wrote it down, and we got it on video and mm-hmm. got pictures of it.
Let's see if it means to anything to anybody out there. That was 30.012732.
Right.
Very specific frequency.
just locked on it, and then I shut it off and let it rotate again, and it will go right back to the same frequency.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So this was in three pieces, but within a sack, you said, of some sort.
Whatever you want to call it, in a membrane or some kind of specialized tissue. Now, it's still there. I just had the optical microscopy done. I just got the pictures. Very interesting looking thing. I did one other thing that you'd be very, very interested with, limited stuff, limited budget. I took a magnet, and I took this object with all, now you got to remember, all three of these pieces are now separated. The only thing that's containing them is this subcutaneous sac. Or membranous sac, and I laid the object on the magnet just to see what would happen. And you know what happened?
What?
It stood up on one end. And you say, well, okay.
Well, obviously it was magnetic polarized. And polarized.
And same conclusion I came to. And then I had a plastic forceps, and I took it off, and then I turned it around, and I said, well, I wonder what would happen if I put the other end, and by God, it stood up on the other end.
Huh.
Now, in the first place, the pieces are not touching each other.
Yeah.
So it stands. I got this on video also. It stands up, and whichever way you want to put it, it'll stand up, and the top part will just fold over 90 degrees.
Oh, that's really weird. How long ago was this surgery now?
23rd of September.
23rd of September. And this person had been complaining of?
She'd been complaining of discomfort in the toe. Well, you would, too, if you had a piece of metal stuck in your joint.
Uh-huh. With no memory of stepping on anything or any other causative factor other than the abduction experience?
No, just happened suddenly. And in fact, she's a nurse. She works for Kaiser. And she went in for some other reason. She injured her ankle, sprained her ankle or something. And like some of the other cases, they took x-rays and said, oh, you got metal on your toe. Oh, no, I don't. I never stepped on anything. There it is.